The reading is taken from Psalm 15, which is found on page 549 of the Church Bible. Psalm 15 on page 549 of the Church Bible. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart, and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbour no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honours those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sarah. I think this microphone is the one that's giving us issues, so maybe we'll keep this one on and turn this one off if that's possible. Hopefully we'll have happiness. Let's pray. I think we need to, yeah? Oh, Father God, thank you for a morning full of blessing. And now as we look at your word, we pray that you would bless each of us through the hearing of the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray for Nick, that he would be especially attentive to your word this morning. And we pray for grace. Please help us to respond to what you have to say to us this morning from the Bible. Amen. Well, today is a very special day as we celebrate Nick's appointment as an assistant pastor here at Jersey Baptist Church. And I know that I can speak on behalf of all of Jersey Baptist Church when I say that we're absolutely thrilled that Nick is joining the staff team here at church. I think my son Thomas said it best. When we made the announcement that Nick was joining us here at Jersey Baptist, I said to Thomas, you know, I think that Nick will be the new assistant pastor. He goes, yes, that's awesome. Which I thought was an appropriate response. And it's for good reason that he said that. Because Nick is an enthusiastic leader, and he is a team player and an encourager. He's thoughtful and prayerful. Not to mention the fact that he's just a really nice guy, and he's got a fabulous family to boot. But what I love about Nick is that he is devoted to Jesus Christ. Nick's relationship with Jesus is the most important thing in his life. And if you know anything about Nick, you know that he goes out of his way to get other people in front of Jesus, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with anyone who will breathe. Because it's through Jesus Christ that we have a real relationship with God. It's only through Christ that we can have a real relationship with God. And if you're visiting today and this is your first induction service and you're thinking, what is this all about? That's what this is all about. This church exists to know Christ and to make him known. And Nick's primary job here at Jersey Baptist Church is to know Christ and to make him known. Nick, your job will include lots of things. You'll do all sorts of things here at church. But the most important thing is that you pursue a relationship with God and that you help others come to know him too. And with that in mind, it's fitting that we turn to Psalm 15 because Psalm 15 begins with the question, how do I dwell in God's sanctuary? How do I live on God's holy hill? What the psalmist is asking is, how do I have a relationship with God? What do I have to do to live in God's presence? Now, these are questions that are relevant to all of us, but they're particularly relevant to Nick today because the central aspect of Nick's job is to know God and to make him known. And so we're going to start with that big question posed in verse 1 of Psalm 15. Read with me starting at verse 1, which says this, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? These words were written by King David nearly 3,000 years ago. David was Israel's second king, if you're keeping count. And during David's reign, I think we just turned the whole thing off, guys, and I can just shout. Does that sound good? Yeah, can you guys hear me? Amen. Wonderful. During David's reign, Israel grew in power and wealth and influence. And as a king, all of that power, all of that wealth, all of that influence was David's. He had it all right at his fingertips. But here, when we look at Psalm 15, we can see that David's number one desire was not possessions or power, but rather David wanted to be close to God. David wanted to be in God's presence. He wanted to dwell in God's sanctuary, to live with God in His holiness. That's why David asked the question in verse 1, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? How do I get close to you, God? And as we reflect on David's pursuit of God, it's worth asking ourselves, what is it that we pursue? What's the thing that we think will bring us contentment or security or comfort or real relationship? This last week, I asked that exact question of my three sons. I asked them, if you could have anything in the world, what would it be? My oldest son, Thomas, said, guitar studio, completely kitted out with every classic guitar you've ever seen. I said, okay. Without hesitation, our middle son, Jack, said, I want 2 helicopters, 2 fighter jets, and 10 Lamborghinis. I know, a slightly frightening prospect, if not ambitious. But don't worry, our youngest, Nathan, redeemed it because I said, Nathan, what would you like most in the world? He says, I want mommy. And it's fun to have a little giggle at those answers, but how much really changes when we grow up? Because I bet if put on the spot, I ask the adults in this room, what do you want? They might say things like, well, I want the bigger house with the extension and the sight lines to the sea. Or I want the investment portfolio that makes sure that I'm secure when in retirement because I don't want to be stuck in retirement. Or they might say, well, I just want companionship. Someone to be with me when I'm lonely. And guess what? There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But will they bring us lasting contentment? Will they bring us eternal security? Will they give us comfort in every situation and circumstance? See, David knew better than most of us because he had everything. That the pleasures and the treasures of this world do not compare to knowing God. Because God offers us real and lasting blessing. In Christ, we can have assurance that will never be shaken. And a person who knows Jesus has a friend who will always be there, no matter what. And Nick, your job is to convince the rest of us that Jesus is worth more than anything else in the world. That knowing Christ is the greatest treasure we could possibly imagine. That it's better than silver or gold. That it's better than collectible guitars. That it's better than houses with nice views. That it's better than 10 or 1,000 or 1,000,000 Lamborghinis. Your job is to convince us that taking refuge in God affords us greater security than the most powerful army of the most powerful nation of any time. Your job is to convince us that the tenderness that God gives to those who know Him and love Him is more compassionate and more loving and better than the love and compassion of the most devoted mother or the closest of friends. Nick, your job is to convince us that Jesus is who we really need. That all of us should be asking the question, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? How do I get into a relationship with you, God, where I can be close to you and personally know you? And to do that, Nick, to convince us that Jesus is all we need, you need to have the courage to start spiritual conversations and ask probing questions. We live in British culture where we like to talk about weather, sports, the next holiday, right? You need to have the courage to break out of that and talk about real things. Important things, and to ask probing questions. And you need to have the patience to answer questions and explain the Bible to people and give people space to figure it out for themselves. And you need to pray. Pray that those who you speak to will respond to the words that you share with them. But also, not only do you speak to people, you need to spend time with God. You need to turn to Him and spend time with Him. Because in spending time with God, you will be a walking advertisement for what it looks like to have a relationship with God. The rest of us will look to you and your relationship with God and go, oh gosh, I want that. Oh, that's what a relationship with God is like? I want that. I remember when I was about 18 years old, I was not a Christian. I didn't grow up in a church-going family. We went to church, maybe at Christmas if my grandmother was in town, but not if she wasn't. I never picked up a Bible, and to be quite honest, I couldn't tolerate religious people. I mean, anything that kind of smacked of the God Squad, I was like, I'm out of here. Don't you try to brainwash me, people. Okay, but there was this guy, a little bit like Nick, you know, nearly always jolly. He was kind when he didn't need to be, and he was different from the rest of us, namely because he had a remarkable passion for Jesus Christ. And this friend of mine would share with me the truth about Jesus, that God entered into our world, that he came and lived the perfect life that I should have lived and died the death that I deserved so that I could know God if I just put my faith in him. And you know, his words did make me think. But what made me take a closer look was my friend's life. He had something that I wanted. He was content in a way that I couldn't possibly even imagine. He was self-assured, not in an arrogant way, but in a humble way. And the way that he spoke about God convinced me that there was more to this stuff than just empty religion. He spoke about God the way a son talks about his dad, in those glowing ways. He spoke about God the way a person talks about their spouse, in a loving way. It was personal, it was intimate, and it was convincing. And it might be that you're a guest with us this morning and that you're here today because Nick is your jolly friend who's been sharing his faith with you. And maybe you're at the place where you're slightly envious of what he has. And so now you're starting to ask the question, how do I have a relationship with God? If that's you, can I encourage you that this is a great place to ask those questions, to start that journey? Here at Jersey Baptist Church, there is space for you to ask questions and even to voice a few doubts. And it's a great place to get answers too. One of the things we're committed to is that we always go to the Bible for our answers. And so you don't have to worry about hearing about Drew's opinions or Nick's opinions. We'll just go to what does the Bible say? And if you're asking questions, how do I have a relationship with God? Well, this is the right place too. If you're not asking that question, if you're not at all concerned about spiritual things, can I just suggest it would be a real shame to go through this life pursuing Lamborghinis and fighter jets and then to come to the end of your life and realize that you missed out on what was most important. Psalm 15 begins with the question that all of us should be asking. How do I come into the presence of a holy God? How do I have a relationship with the Lord? And as we turn to verses 2 to 5, the Bible gives us an answer to that question. Let's read together, starting at verse 1, which says this, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live in your holy hill? The answer, he whose walk is blameless and does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. In verses 2 to 5, we get the description of a person whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous. The person described in these verses speaks truthfully, hates wickedness, honors God, and is honest in all of his dealings. And in these verses, we get the description of someone whose character goes beyond just kind of rule-keeping. The person described by King David here delights in the Lord and obeys God's law because he wants to. Taken comprehensively, verses 2 to 5 shows someone who puts God first and then puts the needs of others above himself. What David is saying is that the person who can enter into God's holy presence is the person who is holy. That if we want to know God and be in a relationship with him, then we need to be blameless and righteous. And that the person who does these things will never be shaken. They have nothing to worry about. So pretty simple, right? Be blameless, be righteous. That's it, right? Easy peasy, done and dusted, right? But of course, the problem is that when we take a closer look at our lives, are we blameless? Do we always do what is righteous? Do we always speak the truth? Are we always careful with our words? Do we always do what is right, even when it hurts? My guess is that most of us don't live this way 100% of the time. In fact, even someone as lovely as Nick probably doesn't live up to the standard set in verses 2 to 5, all the time at least. Which is why when we take a closer look at our lives, it forces us to revisit the question asked in verse 1. Who can enter into God's sanctuary? Who can live in the presence of a holy God? Because yes, there is nothing better than living with God. Knowing God means relationship and protection and blessing. But the challenge is that God is holy. And the presence of God is an intensely dangerous place for those who are not holy. If you don't believe me, just ask Uzzah. And you may be saying to yourself, who is Uzzah? Uzzah was a guy in King David's court, so the guy who was writing this psalm, David, knew Uzzah quite well. Uzzah's job was to transport the Ark of the Covenant. So he carried the Ark of the Covenant on two long poles. The Ark of the Covenant was the chest that held the Ten Commandments, the tablets that the Ten Commandments were on. But it was also so closely associated with God's presence and God's being that it was a holy object in a way that we can't even imagine today. And Uzzah, he was carrying God's ark, and it started to stumble. And so in good faith, he went and touched the ark. And guess what happened to Uzzah? He died right on the spot. That's how holy God is. God is so holy that it's impossible for sinful people like you and me to enter into His presence. Entering into God's presence is a little bit like trying to land a 747 on the surface of the sun. Can you do it? Yeah. But we're not exactly equipped to survive it. Because the blazing intensity of the sun is more than we can bear. And similarly, the blazing intensity of God's holiness is more than we can bear. Because we're not blameless. And if we're honest, we're not righteous. We're not holy in the way that God is holy. Which is why we need someone who is. And the very good news is that God has provided that someone. Jesus was not just blameless, He was perfect. Jesus was not just truthful, He is the truth. And the very good news is that Jesus came to bring us into a right relationship with God, to usher us in to God's presence. Jesus came and lived among us so that we could know God. Because, of course, Jesus is God in the flesh. And Jesus endured humiliation and injustice at the hands of wicked men so that we might be freed from sin's shame. Jesus remained silent when He was slandered time and time again by those who participated in His murder so that you and I might be declared righteous before God. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of what He did. He lived the perfect life we should have lived, and He died the death we deserved, taking away sin's punishment. Jesus climbed an unholy hill and died on a cross to pay the price for our sin, so that you and I might be able to enter into God's presence, so that you and I might be able to live with God on His holy hill. And so if you are asking, how can I have a relationship with God? It's by putting your faith wholeheartedly in Jesus Christ, the one truly blameless man. And by the way, this is why Nick is so keen to talk to you about Jesus. If you are here today as a guest, and you're here because you're just a friend of Nick's, maybe you met him through sports or something like that, and you're like, love the guy, but he always talks about Jesus. This is why. Because Nick knows that Jesus offers forgiveness to anyone, no matter what their past is. Jesus can take unholy people and make them holy in the sight of God through His work on the cross. And Nick knows that we can have a relationship with God through Jesus. He is the blameless one. He is the righteous one. He's the one sent to us to bring us into God's presence. And when you put your faith in Him, you can know God. You can enter into God's holy presence without any fear of retribution, because Jesus has taken all the punishment away. He paid the price so that we could come to God. And guess what? When you do have a relationship with God, when you do put your faith in Jesus and spend time with Him, guess what happens? As you spend time with Christ, you become more like Him. You begin to think and act according to His ways. As you spend time with God, His character rubs off on you. You become holy just as God is holy. Here's a little illustration. Last week I was on holiday in the United States. We spent 2 weeks in North Carolina. If you're not familiar with American geography, North Carolina is in the South. Okay, you have to say it that way, South. Okay, and we were there, and in North Carolina they talk like this. Okay, so you ask for a piece of pie, the long eyes. And guess what happened? After 2 weeks in North Carolina, my English wife and my English kids who have English accents started talking like this. They started asking for pie. I was delighted. Now, why did they do that? Well, it's because we become like the people we're around. They were around Southerners for 2 weeks straight. And so it just rubbed off on them. And similarly, if you know God and you spend time with God, it will result in a change in your life, one where you become more holy as you spend time with God who is holy. And by the way, if you're wondering, what is it about Nick that sets him apart? I can tell you right now, it's Jesus' influence on his life. And if you've seen Nick maybe do something wrong, guess what? You should have seen him before he met Jesus. He was way worse. Yeah? Jesus is the reason Nick serves others without concern for himself. Jesus is the reason Nick strives to live according to God's ways. Jesus is the reason Nick is becoming more holy each and every day. And Nick, as you begin ministry here at Jersey Baptist Church, can I urge you to continue to pursue godliness and holiness? Strive to be a model of godliness for the rest of us. Be a man who goes beyond just empty rule-keeping and instead desires to obey God because he loves God. Because when you do live a godly life and you are holy, you show the rest of us what God is like. You show us God's character. And you demonstrate that your relationship with Jesus is the real deal. That it's authentic. That it's true. Your holiness is like the watermark that proves authenticity. And by the way, if you are here as one of Nick's friends and you don't consider yourself a Christian, you have my permission to test out Nick's life. You can kick the tires, look under the bonnet, make sure that everything is above board, that what he says matches how he lives. Now, that doesn't mean that Nick will be perfect, but you should see the difference that Jesus makes in his life. And when you do see that difference, the difference that Jesus makes in the life of a Christian, that's the evidence that this is real. It's the evidence that a person can be transformed and saved by Jesus Christ. And I think that evidence is compelling. When we look at our friends whose lives have been changed by Jesus, the evidence is at least compelling enough to give it a closer look, isn't it? And I'd encourage you to take a closer look. You know, in October here at Jersey Baptist, we're running a 6-week program called Discovering God. It does exactly what it says on the tin. We're going to be exploring what the Bible says about Jesus. And if you're new to Christian things and you'd like to join us in that, I'd love to invite you to come along and join us in that. That'll be starting in October. Because to know God is better than anything in the world. And a relationship with God is possible through His perfect and blameless Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, today is a special day. Because we've commissioned Nick to serve you and to lead in your church and to proclaim the good news about Jesus Christ. Good news that we can have a relationship with you. Good news that contentment and security and blessing can be found when we know you. And good news that you sent your Son, the perfect, blameless man, to die for us so that we could come before you as forgiven people. People whose lives can be transformed as a result of knowing Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.